Welcome to Jewish Singles Radio. I am your host, Valerie Zaslow, along with my co-hosts, Alana Bergavoy.
Hi, everybody.
And Allison Berman.
Hello.
This is the second season of Jewish Singles Radio, where our goal is to bring Jewish men and women together and build an engaging, like-minded community where we can connect and have authentic, meaningful conversation about dating after 40.
If you're divorced, widowed, a single parent, or maybe have never been married, we hope that you will meet new people through the age-old art of conversation. You will also learn a lot. On every show, we'll be talking with dating coaches, health and wellness experts, matchmakers, religious leaders, educators, and of course, singles.
We understand that managing modern dating and navigating single life is not easy, and our goal is to provide you with lots of valuable information and have some fun along the way. If you have questions for any of us or for any of our experts on the show, or if you would like to be a guest on the show, give us a call. The number is 888-329-3306.
So if you are Jewish and single, or single and look to meet someone Jewish, let's talk about it. You can listen to Jewish Singles Radio live every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. on WWDB 860 a.m. and WPEN 97.5 FM HD2. Or you can hear the streaming show online at WWDBAM.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Today, we are talking about entrepreneurship and the challenges associated with working around the clock and dating when you're married to your job or just too busy to date. Maintaining any relationship takes work. And I can say from experience as an entrepreneur and a small business owner, managing my business while trying to maintain a romantic relationship has always been challenging. And I think it's fair to say that entrepreneurs often encounter problems when they're dating because it's difficult to find that work-life balance. You know, research has shown that entrepreneurship can be a lonely journey. So if you're a solopreneur, a small business owner, or a workaholic, do you sometimes feel like your social life takes a backseat to your career? I read an article in Inc. magazine about Danoon Kang. She is the woman who developed the popular dating app Coffee Meets Bagel. And she was interviewed about the challenges of being an entrepreneurial woman and dating. And she said, it's not that there is a lack of eligible men or women to date. It's the fact that entrepreneurs just don't make enough time for dating. And despite how easy technology has made dating, unless you're lucky enough to meet someone at the office or in your professional travels, we all know that meeting your beshert requires effort, time, money, and in most cases, a commitment. And being an entrepreneur is a lifestyle choice. And it doesn't mean that you'll be single forever. It just means you have to invest energy into finding a like-minded date or partner who is comfortable and supportive of your work ethic. So if you're a driven, ambitious, work-around-the-clock entrepreneur, how do you succeed without sabotaging your personal life? And what is the best way to find love and a partnership that will last? Well, that is what our experts are going to talk with us about today on Jewish Singles Radio. We are joined by two hardworking, business-savvy professional women who know and understand the struggles of finding that work-life balance. And after years of managing a business and a relationship, they're here to tell you why they're both dedicated to helping others find professional and personal success. So I'm going to start out by introducing Amy Holtz. Amy is a business coach and a successful entrepreneur with over three decades of experience leading and growing her multi-million dollar businesses, including Party City's largest franchise operation. She uses a method of leadership training known as the Entrepreneurial Operating System, which she is going to tell us all about. And she works closely with entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and philanthropists in Greater Philadelphia, New York, and Israel to help them navigate their frustrations and reach their full business potential. She was named one of the 50 most influential Jews by the Jewish Post and one of Allgemeiner's, is that how you say it, Amy? Allgemeiner's, just want to make sure, top 100 people positively influencing Jewish life. Amy co-founded the Jewish Future Pledge, which is a worldwide movement that ensures vibrant Jewish life for future generations. She previously served as the CEO of Mosaic United and as president of Open Door Media. Okay, that is all such a mouthful. Definitely an entrepreneur's credentials for sure. So welcome, Amy, to Jewish Singles Radio.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, Val.
And we're excited to have you. So tell us a little bit about what it was like working most of your life as an entrepreneur and what made you decide to take off your entrepreneur hat and work with other entrepreneurs to help them manage their companies. Maybe you can share also a little bit about the training and resources that the entrepreneurial operating system offers.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to. So the way I would describe my professional life and the businesses that I ran is my businesses ran me. I never ran my businesses. They were running me. And when I look back on my career, when I think about it, I love building a business. It's a massive amount of fun. You know, it's challenging, it's creative, there's so much fun until it's not. And that's what happened to me, actually, the two times I ran very big businesses, Jewish Future Pledge, I left a little bit earlier, but I was running them and it was so much fun, and then it wasn't. And my kids would call me when they were growing up something that rhymed with the witch CEO. And that's kind of, they still jokingly call me that. And I realize now it was because I was just doing too much. I was letting the business run me. And one of the things I teach my teams and I work a lot about on is delegating and elevating. Spending your time doing things you're meant to be in this world for. Things you love to do and you're great at. Dan Sullivan, a famous coach, calls it your unique ability. But when you're working in your area of your unique ability, I believe time and space expands. You're completely energetic. You're extremely happy. And everybody around you is happier. I instead spent most of my day doing things I didn't like to do, but I was really good at. I call that hell because nobody wants you to stop doing that because you're so good at it. However, it drains your energy. And I was never happy because I was living in that area where I doing things I didn't like to do and was good at. Hence, everybody was always on my nerves.
So we should say a little bit about you. You're married.
Yes,
You have children. Obviously, before you got married, you dated.
Yes.
And you did share a little bit of information with me about that prior to this. So maybe we can just, like, delve into, like, what you felt was complicated about, you know, being an entrepreneur and dating when you did so.
It's hard finding the time. I think it's hard to prioritize relationships because except in that beginning phase when it's like, you know, a massive amount of fun, sometimes business is a little bit easier, right? It's easier. I used to say with my kids, I hope they're not listening. I always like working better because it was so much easier than taking care of kids. And at work, everybody listens to me. It's perfect. So I find that work is often easier. It's, you know, you feel immediate success. It's just more exciting. But I had my priorities wrong. I'm very clear I had my priorities wrong now.
It's so interesting that you can, like, see that in hindsight, you know, because when you're going through it, it just feels like that's the most crucial, critical thing that you have to do every single day.
Well, I kind of used to, even when my kids were little, I always knew that I was escaping a little bit. I think I was
I mean, do you think that entrepreneurs have a difficult time making a long-term commitment, even though they're committing to their businesses,
when it comes to anything
outside of their business? Do you think that's something that, you know, that you struggle with?
No, I think some people might have that problem. I think it's priorities and, you know, it's complicated.
So do you have any regrets about how you were juggling family and work?
Yeah,
during that time.
For sure. What I do now, if I could do it over again, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I never understood what I know now. When I found EOS, the Entrepreneurial Operating System, I discovered there's actually a system for running a business. I made it up as I went along. I also am sure I had a little bit of a superhero complex. So I was doing the job of five people. I was a competitor of Party Cities. When I became Party Cities, they had numerous people doing my job. I thought I was a superhero. At my eulogy, they're going to say, well, Amy did the job of five people. Now I know that was a tremendous, tremendous mistake because I thought it was good for my business, but it wasn't. Because one person can only make so many decisions well, right? And also, I was always overwhelmed and I was always a witch. So my energy was low. As the CEO, you're the chief energy officer. You need to keep the energy high. So it was a big mistake. So now I teach people. When I found EOS, I was like, this is the greatest thing in the whole world. All the mistakes I made along my journey, I could have avoided if I just had, who knew there was a system for running a great business? And I actually think EOS applies to your life. I run my life on EOS.
I was just going to ask you that, if yes. Or even if any of the people that you coach or the businesses that you help, if they kind of convey that same feeling to you.
All the time. All the time. All the time.
So do you think that when entrepreneurs find themselves in a relationship that isn't working, that they respond similarly to the way they would in business? I mean, like, you know, quick to hire and slow to fire.
Oh, wait, I always teach them.
I think you're always eager to get somebody new on board, you know, and then you have to go through all of the, you know, processes in order to make sure you're firing somebody properly.
I'm actually a big believer in people have personality types, right? So I know some super very wealthy people who run huge businesses and can't break up with a girlfriend. And I'm like, how do you, you know, buy and sell these big businesses and you can't get out of a relationship? Then I know people who are really good at it. I think it's sort of more your personal style carries over into every area of your life. And I'm a big believer in the DISC. You guys probably know the DISC assessment. It's a personality test.
Oh, yes, yes. I've heard it called all different.
Yeah.
Or there's different studies. Yeah, right, exactly, right, right. Exactly. Yeah. Basically, I mean, you can explain it, test your personality.
It's knowing who you are as a person. So a D is a very dominant person. And they will be very short. They'll cut you off really quickly. I'm dominant.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it would be interesting, of course, for all of us to find out a little bit more about that. Maybe we can chat privately after the show. I feel, do you think that when so much of your business becomes embedded into your life, that entrepreneurs tend to approach relationships like any business transaction?
I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I think relationships are intense and different. I mean, I'm sure there are some that treat it like a business transaction. Maybe a second marriage is more like a business transaction. But I think relationships, you know, people are, we're souls, we're human beings. I think we connect and we care.
I'm curious about your approach, how it was and how it is to prioritizing the work-life balance. When did you get married and how did you?
30 years ago, mm-hmm. 30 years ago. And I look at it more like an energy thing. Right? Like, it's all about your energy level, because when I'm working in my unique ability, I'm so happy that I'm happy and I'm great to everybody. So I don't think it's about how much you work. It's about how much energy you have. So what's great about what we teach about EOS is we teach you to delegate. One of the many things we teach is to delegate and elevate and slowly get out of those things that drain you.
Okay, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean,
beautiful.
I think most entrepreneurs are risk takers. And,
yes,
you know, risk taking propels you to achieve the things that you thought you never could. So do you think that as an entrepreneur, you risk losing the opportunity to meet somebody and have a healthy relationship? I mean, of course, there's millions of entrepreneurs that are married,
right.
But there's millions who are also divorced and struggling with finding a relationship after 40, which is the reason we're here.
Right. Well, I listen, a a lot of people aren't happy. And I think to become happy, you need a full life. And, you know, I follow sort of, you know, if you know who Tal Ben-Shahar is, mm-hmm. he teaches the spire elements. In order to be happy, you have to be full in five areas of your life. Spire spiritually, physically, intellectually, which is what I get from work, relationshiply, and emotionally. But if you're not going to have a happy life if you focus only on one area. So, you know, I think it's getting focused on understanding your life has many components. Like EOS, we look at it, every business has six key components. There's several components of your life, and you need to make sure they're all filled.
Can you elaborate
on
the components
of your life or the EOS?
I mean, I think, you know, it's kind of, and both really, and how do you think that they're similar? I mean, I know you're not a life coach. I know you're a business coach, but you know, in terms of all of the experience that you've had, I'm sure you see where there's, you know, some kind of association between the two.
Yeah, I'm actually, I don't really, that's hard for me to answer correctly. I don't want to throw out an answer. I've been thinking of it in terms of the five spire elements, but I think the number one most important thing is you need to know who you are really, like, on a very deep level and where you're going. And who you are includes, you know, the negative voice in your head, which the Jews call your Yetzer Hara, right? All the head trash. What you care about, your unique abilities, what you want to accomplish in this world, where you're going. What do you want to do? And then how are you getting there? And that's all, obviously, EOS stuff. We teach all that. Where you going, how you getting there.
Right. And one of the things you mentioned, of course, was success. And I feel like so many entrepreneurs are success-driven perfectionists who don't like to settle. And even though they might be looking for love, I mean, I think sometimes they're searching for, like, an exceptional love. And maybe they're never really satisfied. And I think that's one of the things that you find when you're an entrepreneur. It's always going for the next best.
I think that's a problem that is the result of there being so many opportunities. Because I think that when you're dating, you have dated so many different guys that you say, oh, this one has this, this one has this. But none of them have all of it. I think it has nothing to do with if you're an entrepreneur or not. I feel like you're knocking entrepreneurs, like, you know, there's, I think they're great people.
No, we're not knocking them at all. We're just, like, you know, really kind of like exploring all of the challenges that entrepreneurs have. And it's not like, I mean, they're regular people, but, you know, they're also like, they excel themselves and oftentimes are perfectionists and oftentimes are workaholics. And
they're under a massive amount of pressure.
Right.
I don't think perfectionism, the secret of life is it's 20% gets you 80% of the way there. So there, I don't think all entrepreneurs are perfectionists. Some of them are, for sure. But, you know, I think that...
I always felt like when I got down that road...
I think massive stress. I think it's very stressful.
I agree with you, 100%. All right, on that note, we are going to take a quick break. So we will be back with Amy and our other expert guest who's joining us in the studio. So stay with us. You're listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
Charlie died after taking a single pill that turned out to be counterfeit.
He was having back issues, and it was a counterfeit poisonous pill. Websites and social media selling fake medicines may look legitimate, but they're not. Drugs from these rogue pharmacies could have fillers like sawdust or deadly fentanyl.
He died in less than 15 minutes after taking the pill.
Now there's a free tool that can give you peace of mind. At safe.pharmacy, enter the pharmacy web address and you'll know if the site you're using is safe.
If you're not getting your prescriptions from a legitimate source, that next dose you take could be your last.
We just don't want other people to go through what we're going through. It's just horrific.
Go to safe.pharmacy. Find out about fake medicine on social media and if the site you're buying from is safe.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio. If you have a question for us this evening, please feel free to give us a call. The number is 888-329-3306. We are talking with Amy Holtz. She is a business coach and a successful entrepreneur. And Ilana, you are going to tell us about our other guest who's in the studio.
I sure am. We welcome Margalit Hoffman to the studio. She lives in here in Philadelphia together with her husband, Shmuel, and they run Hoffman Productions, which is a creative film and advertising agency that works with clients all over the world in New York, Los Angeles, Jerusalem, Berlin, Philadelphia. In addition to producing films and commercials, Margalit advises clients on marketing with videos, also runs recruiting and fundraising campaigns for a film client. Margalit is balancing beautifully a family of children ranging in age from 5 to 15 and working. And we have invited her here this evening, especially because she created the Jewish Women's Business Network group on Facebook, and the group has more than 2,500 members. Margalit's focused on networking, connecting like-minded women. So welcome, Margalit. And well, I would love to start off with asking you, why was it important for you to create this Facebook group?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Connecting with women, I feel like women make most of the decisions of the world. Actually, it's not just a feeling. It's a known advertising fact that women make most of the purchasing decisions. So, but we also have a special way of connecting. And this is probably why we're responsible for the movement of most of the money, at least on a consumer end for sure, and more in the business end. And I think women have a special way of connecting. You know, when I go to shul, my husband's like, how is it that you walk in and you chat everybody up and I need a l'chaim first? It's just, we talk, we gab, we talk about anything and everything. We view people as a whole person. And then if it leads to business, that's great too. So I just felt it was really important.
And if it leads to meeting that other significant someone in your life, that's also great, right? Absolutely. I mean, like you said, you know, networking is all about connecting. And of course, with women, I think there's that certain level of comfort and camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, interestingly enough, we are all connecting here tonight. We are all living in the local area, and we are all Jewish, and yet we didn't all know each other. And I have experienced from doing this show for a while now that these connections that we make in the studio often lead to lots of other opportunities, including introducing, you know, like-minded singles, right, Ilana?
Yes.
I mean, you know specifically because we've had some people who have, you know, reached out to us with interests for, you know, meeting somebody else. So, I mean, I want to talk a little bit, you know, I looked at the Facebook group and I think everybody's talking about everything. And it's interesting because there's, you know, anything from, you know, from your business to things that I feel like are maybe a little bit more personal. And what I think is interesting is that once you do connect with somebody as an entrepreneur or as a business professional, you start to get that level of comfort and maybe talk a little bit more openly. And I think that's the way that, you know, you start to learn a little bit about
somebody, what somebody else can bring to you in your life and who their circle is. You know, you often aren't familiar, like we are not this evening, and that is what gives you the opportunity. We always tell singles, network, network, network. I mean, it's the key to meeting somebody. I mean, even in, you know, these days when everybody's online and whatever, people are also so frustrated with being online and feel that they really want to connect organically. Tell me a little bit about, you know, how you work. I mean, why that is a goal of yours to connect people.
So specifically connecting women, but also my dad always says, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, which is where I learned a lot. Watching that work-life balance, watching my family, my parents get divorced and then remarry successfully. And a lot of it has to do with resources and allocation of resources and time and energy. And I think what you said earlier with Amy that, yeah, there's time is probably our most scarce resource and managing that time. But through our business and through our entrepreneur, I mean, money comes from people. That's what my dad always says. And the more you know people, the more you'll do business. But you can meet people through your work. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs might even have to do that in terms of dating and relationships because that's where you're spending most of your time. So in my case, I decided to go into business with my husband. So kind of, you know, solving two problems with one thing, so to say. But there's all of business, all of marketing is about connecting. It's about getting people, you know, trading services, trading goods.
When you mentioned time management a lot, and Amy, I think maybe you can talk about that a little bit, but I'm sure that's one of the key ingredients that you teach business professionals is how to manage your time. And, you know, it's not only important in your day-to-day business life, but it's important in general. I mean, just to be sure that if you're in a relationship that you're scheduling time for a date, you know, or scheduling a time for romance.
Right.
You know, I mean, if you're, you know, a business professional, sometimes you just don't even have that time. And so tell us, I mean, in terms of, are they challenges that you hear a lot about from people that you work with?
Everybody has time management problems, but it's a matter of prioritizing. If you don't decide what your priorities are, somebody else is going to decide your priorities for you. So we teach Stephen Covey's rocks. You know the Stephen Covey rocks? So basically we set priorities, which we call 90-day priorities, which are rocks. And Stephen Covey, he takes a glass cylinder. And he has rocks, which are your priorities, pebbles, which are your to-dos, and sand, which is all the daily interruptions.
I must have seen a million videos exactly. of that example
exactly.
online,
exactly.
you know, or even in science class.
Exactly.
We learned that, you know, hopefully at a very young
exactly.
age.
Exactly, but most people fill up the cylinder with the daily interruptions, the sand, and then they could fit in very few pebbles. But if you fill up the glass cylinder, you put near the rocks first, your priorities, the little pebbles fill in between, and then the sand fills in between that. So you have to decide what your priorities are and then time block for it. Set aside time that you're going to do what these priorities are. That's how I live my life. And somebody will come to me in the middle of the day. Just today, somebody wanted to speak to me, and I was like, you're sand. In my head, I didn't say that to them.
Right, right.
I didn't say that to them, but I'm thinking you're sand. So if you don't control your day and your life, somebody else will control you, whether it's Facebook, you know, social media, or the daily interruptions. You have to prioritize. It's essential.
I'm Margalita, I'm curious because I just wanted to hear a little bit. I know, you know, you're a filmmaker and you do work all over the world, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you prioritize, and you know, and how you feel that you know, helping others to prioritize in terms of, you know, finding time to connect with each other is important.
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's the question that can make or break your life. I feel like I think, you know, I was working a corporate job in New York, and I just realized, like, it's not going to happen for me this way. I won't find my Beshert this way. So I stopped. I moved to Israel. I met him there, and then we continued working together. But it's very hard to prioritize all of that and to stay focused on, like you said, the rocks that are the priorities. So I kind of realized, like, look, I have a ticking clock, right? So I want to get certain things done at certain times. And there's the daily prioritizing, and then there's also the life prioritizing about what happens when and in which order. So, and then there's that daily struggle. Like, we do schedule date night. We do, I do have to step back quite often because I'm a pit bull. My husband says, you're a pit bull. I'm very insistent. And I feel like that's the way to get anything done is just keep going, keep going. But you need to step back, I guess, sometimes and make room for someone else and be open to what that's going to lead to. I don't know if that answered your question.
No, I mean, it certainly did. And, you know, I think that that's an important point that you, you know, mentioned about stepping back because, you know, if it's just like if you're dating and you have, you know, similar interests. And, you know, you're like-minded and you're both entrepreneurs. And that's like one of the things even, I mean, either of you can touch on this. But I mean, do you think that entrepreneurs should date entrepreneurs? Or is that just too big of a crazy mess of a situation?
I don't know about that. I always thought I needed a wife. I was always the same. So I think people should date people that they respect and, you know, that they could work together, that they could find either a system, they could find a system to work together. I just want to say something that you made a point about. It's so important to create space for other people. So many people don't do that. They get so caught up in their own narrative and their own propaganda. You have to stop and create space for other people. I think that's the most important
thing. How is that done? Can you give us an example of what you mean?
Just shut up. Shut up. Why are you talking? You know, you have two ears, one mouth, all of that. But why are you talking? Mm-hmm. And I think so many people are so lonely and just need to be validated. It's such a gift to listen to somebody else.
Yeah, and I also feel like you need to give people a chance to bloom, you know, to become, you know, to express themselves, to do what it is that they're interested in pursuing or what makes them happy outside of your relationship. And then it's important to respect that, which clearly, you know, Marguerite, you have talked about the challenges of doing that with your husband, but that and communicating, which is key, you know, for anybody who's, you know, working on any relationship, whether it's at a job or whether it's with another person. You know, I think it's really important to check in with each other.
Yeah, that's what I do with most of my teams. Keeping a team healthy is very hard work, just like any relationship. It requires constant conversation and constant work.
Yeah. You know, we are joined by a caller, and I wanted to welcome her onto the show and find out a little bit about her and what her question is. So, hi, welcome, Leah, to Jewish Singles Radio.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. This is a very impressive show, and I've resonated so far with everything that was said.
That's great to hear. And interestingly enough, I understand that you are a member of the Facebook group that Marguerite created. So tell us a little bit about, one, what you do and why you're calling, and two, what your experiences has been in that group.
Yeah, so I've been a member of that group. I went probably since like 2010 or 2013. And I've, you know, joined a lot of groups, and I focus the groups I join on mainly like Jewish communities, just connecting with other Jews, because there's so much business and so much power in it. So just finding those like-minded business individuals to really coexist and just help each other to just all be successful. I've always kind of had this vision of like connecting a map of all the Jewish businesses.
Yeah, I think in our local community, we did try to have like a directory at one point, but it never really took off. I mean, we had it a couple years, but I mean, I do think it's important. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I do think it takes all of us. It doesn't just take one person to make a directory. Like, everybody together needs to create this.
Yeah. I'm curious. Are you married?
I am in the process of a divorce right now. And it kind of plays into my entrepreneur work-life balance. It's kind of all... kind of drove me to where I am today. So I'm grateful for all of it.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a question for either Amy or Marguerite, especially in terms of, you know, where you are in a relationship and how you're now probably again looking to network, you know, with people?
I don't know if I had a question necessarily. I mean, I had a lot of the same kind of points and ideas.
What do you do?
So, by day, I'm actually a property management assistant. I was a paralegal for the last 6 years, but I, just got into property management. Before that, I had tried starting my own freelance business, Leia by Design. And I had to, somewhere around baby number two, put that on the back burner to try and put my marriage first, to try and save it. And both of us working full time was worse than me being an entrepreneur.
Well, we really appreciate that you're listening, that you called, and I'm sure Marguerite is thrilled that you are a member of her group. And thank you for calling. I mean, we wish you lots of mazel, right? And lots of luck.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Absolutely. I just was glad to hear you mentioned the putting something on the back burner, because... it is the way you look at it. It's your perspective and your priorities. We all, I think, have a vision. And I think it was Stephen Covey that said, begin with the end in mind. So if you are building a family, growing a family, you and your husband or anybody and their spouse, that obviously becomes a priority.
We'll be rebuilding at some point in time. We'll be rebuilding a family. But yeah, I mean, just for right now, just the structure of my life is key. Just having a time and a place for everything, being selective with my time and my energy, and just finding like-minded people and relationships that just align with those goals. And,
yeah. Okay. Terrific. I mean, you know, it's interesting because, you said you're married, you're going through a divorce, and, a lot of our listeners are in that same position, but you know, I'm just curious because I think like sometimes when we are talking about entrepreneurs and meeting and connecting with other people, I mean, I have a friend who is 60 and never married, and I've introduced him to many women, and he dates a lot, but it seems that, you know, he always has a reason why none of the women he dates meets his standards. And I'm just curious what you guys think about having really high standards as an entrepreneur. I mean, of course, and, you know, setting your goals, because I think that's one of the things is that, you know, you want them to be attainable. I mean, and Amy, maybe you can speak to this, but goal setting is, of course, a priority for an entrepreneur. And sometimes maybe they're just not realistic.
Yeah, well, yeah, for sure. Well, we teach clients, there are six key components of a business, and we go on a journey with our clients to get them 80% strong in each of these six key components. And we tell them right away, it's never 100% strong, because 100% strong is impossible. So we really believe, you know, perfectionism is very dangerous. And I used to say when I practiced law that I could make a memo perfect for, you know, several extra $1,000 for a client, or I could stop and give them the answer they need and it might have a typo. So I think, you know, there's nothing's perfect. We're all imperfect. God made us that way.
I like what you said before, Amy, about on your eulogy. I think that it's common knowledge that people talk about, you know, no one's ever going to say on their deathbed, I wish I had made another, you know, $1 million or, but if they could have done something more to make a difference in someone's life, that would be more true.
One of the most powerful things I did in my life is somebody said, write your eulogy as if you die in 10 years. What do you want it to say? And then they said, write your eulogy as if you die tomorrow afterwards. And then you create a plan to get from eulogy number two to eulogy number one. Mm. Because where are you today? And how are you getting to where you want to go? But I found that to be a very enlightening, powerful exercise.
You know, it's something that I've never thought actually about doing, but I can appreciate the significance.
But the two, it's the key is
right.
The two.
That's what I'm
right?
saying.
Because it's very different.
Right. But I'm saying, you know what I mean? Either one that's for later or one that's for today, just in general. It's just, I mean, and it's just an interesting concept because it's just not something that crossed my mind. But I even think that's somewhat similar to even just writing yourself a business plan.
Yeah, well, that is a business plan. But in order to have an effective business plan, you need to know where you're going. You got to figure out where you're going. Then you figure out how you're going to get there. We reverse engineer in EOS. We say, where do you want to be in 10 years? Okay, great. If you're going to be there in 10 years, where do you have to be in 3 years? Then we say, what do you got to do this year to get to your 3-year plan? And then we say, what do you have to do this quarter? So we reverse engineer to get you to where you want to go. But you got to start with that goal. And that eulogy is a really powerful, what do you want them to say about you when you die?
But also regarding perfectionism, it definitely has a place in the workplace. But like you said, you just got to get stuff done.
Right.
But also, I think because entrepreneurs are so focused on getting it right, we sometimes transfer that to our spouses or the person we're dating, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You have to choose your priorities, get those down, and then the rest is commentary. And I had a Rebbetzin in seminary who used to say, before you're married, think, how can I, or can I live with this? And once you're married, you think, how can I live with this? And I think it's so important for entrepreneurs and for anyone in any relationship just to stay plastic, to stay flexible, to open your mind a little wider for this new thing you need to accept, whatever that is. Oh, my husband wants to go on a trip here. My husband is flying there. Okay, I need to make space just first in my brain for that. And I think the same applies with dating. I mean, my husband is from Germany. As a Jewish girl, you know, he's a Jewish Jew. But I never in my life did I think I'd marry someone whose native language was German. But the minute you open yourself up to, oh, this is what Hashem is putting in front of me, both in business and in life, I guess, with dating or whatever, then you can maybe go with the flow. There's so much in entrepreneurs that really want to plan everything and make everything go the way you want, but then there also needs to be room for that, what we call like phenomenology, like just what's going to happen. Like, let's be open to see what happens.
Yeah. And I mean, you spoke a lot about getting it right, but my question is, what happens when you get it wrong?
When you get married, when you get it wrong?
When you get it wrong in business, and you know, it's like a life lesson. And yes, I mean, of course, we're talking about relationships. So when you get it wrong, and
you're going to inevitably get it wrong. If you're running a good business, you're making a lot of mistakes. And that's part of the process. So, you know, I heard this quote the other day and I love it. Don't just go through it, grow through it. What did you learn? And you have to decide, are you going to continue to stay in that business or are you going to get out of it? Don't rationalize your mistakes. If they were a mistake, sometimes you have to cut your losses and move on. But I just want to tell you what Margalit said that reminded me of the Jewish definition of love, which was made a major difference in my marriage. I'm sure you guys know the Jewish definition of love, but it's choosing to focus on somebody's virtues, right? Choosing to focus on their virtues. So I believe when you date somebody, whatever's getting on your nerves a little bit is going to get on your nerves a lot more once you're married. So I have the greatest husband in the world. So he does two or three things that get on my nerves. But I could focus on those, or I could focus on all of the millions of great things he does. And that is the key, whether, you know, of course, with employees, they need to be the right people in the right seats and all of that. But you could focus on, you got to choose what you're going to focus on with anybody.
So true.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I really like that. But how do you know when you have enough? Let's say you're working hard, you're working smart, and you as a very successful businesswoman, how do you know when you made enough money, let's say, and then you want to do something else? Or do you just like the working?
Well, I mean, for me,
I guess it's about being satisfied, right?
At what
point are you actually make that determination? You're satisfied with your life and where you are and the person that you're with.
I just had a life-altering decision because I'm used to being like the top achiever and everything. And I just decided I'm only going to take a limited number of clients because I'm going to be 60. And I figure I have 15 to 20 years left, good, healthy years. You know, please God, more, but that's what I probably have. So what do I want to do with them? And it occurred to me that there might be something more than work. It was a new revelation. And
I think most entrepreneurs, like, have to kind of get into that mindset,
well,
right?
You also love the achievement. It's like the thrill of the victory. It's, you know, there's a real thrill to it. So it's a real discipline to limit my clients. And then I got to figure out, what am I going to do with the rest of this time? Like, what do I do now? You want to have lunch?
you know, I completely understand that. I mean, my father was an attorney his whole life. And then, like so many Jewish professionals, he retired and moved to Florida. But then he was in that same position. Now what? Now what happens? And, you know, interestingly enough, I mean, he started to build new relationships and just get involved with more of his hobbies, which as an entrepreneur, you never really take the time to do those things that are just, you know, carefree and that you would enjoy other than work. Of course, that's what you try to do when you're dating, but I think there's just so many challenges when it comes to having your own business and making your own way. And I have an interesting little tidbit that I want to share, and I don't normally do this, but I follow Bethany Frankel on social media. And if you don't know who she is, she's an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, and a best-selling author, and a TV personality who started The Real Housewives of New York City. And she has been married twice, and she's currently engaged but has no wedding date set. And she recently posted comments about the challenges of being an entrepreneur and is releasing a new book. And I'm really about this subject matter. I mean, what it takes to be successful while staying true to yourself, which I think is, you know, one of the main points that we're talking tonight. And I just wanted to share her quote.
I think it's important to share with you that most entrepreneurs and small business owners don't know what the hell they're doing in the beginning. I was broke. I was nervous. I was alone. I was desperate. I just kept going, kept shifting, kept changing, kept improving, kept learning. And now all of those mistakes are baked into a success pie. That's why I wrote the book Business is Personal, because all of those stories, bounced checks, insufficient funds, cracked windshield on my $500 car that would break down in the middle of New York City on a 95 degree day when I was trying to deliver cookies. So being a small business owner is show. It can be exhausting, depressing, defeating, debilitating, and people will tell you to cut bait. And many of you should, but there is a group of you that shouldn't. You know who you are, and you know if you've got it, and you know if you can make it. If you can, you get organized, you strategize, and you keep going. You've got this.
Great, right?
It's perfect. It just pulled up a thing I just sent somebody. What people don't see about entrepreneurship, hard work, persistence, late nights, rejection, sacrifices, discipline, criticism, the self-doubt, the failures, and the risks. Like, it's so hard. There's so much head trash. It is so hard.
As you just rambled off that list, I thought, you know what? It's also the things that people don't see about relationships.
Yeah.
So you know what? We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. You're listening to Jewish Singles Radio.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Whether you have been blind all your life, are just starting to lose vision, or have a blind child or family member, connecting with other blind and low vision people can help you live the life you want. The National Federation of the Blind is a membership organization of blind and low vision people, and you can connect with the chapter right in your own community. To learn more, visit us at blind.org. That's blind.org. The National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
Welcome back to Jewish Singles Radio, and we are getting ready to wrap up the show. So I want to make sure that both of our guests have an opportunity to tell our listeners how they can reach out to them. So Amy, why don't we start with you? Let us know where people can find you, especially if they're interested in learning more, you know, especially about hiring you for your business coaching or to learn about the leadership skills that you talked about tonight.
Okay, that'd be great. Amy.Holtz, H-O-L-T-Z, at EOSWorldwide.com. And I'm also on LinkedIn. It's the only social media I do.
Of course, it's for business professionals, right? And Margalit, how about you?
So the Facebook group is called Jewish Women Entrepreneur Network, and you're welcome to join. We'll accept you if you're Jewish and you're a woman. And our website is HoffmanFilmAgency.com, and my email address is Margalit.Hoffman@gmail.com. That's Margalit.Hoffman@gmail.com.
Great. And, you know, I just want to stress, you know, the importance of not giving up, of being true to yourself and of really just going for it, because that's what entrepreneurship is all about. And, you know, likewise, I think it's the same in relationships. I mean, if it feels right, go for it. There's so many struggles and complications in the life that we're living today that it's so important to feel good about what you're doing and who you're with. So we are going to wrap up on that note. And I want to thank you all for listening to Jewish Singles this evening. Tune in to our live broadcast every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. right here on WWDB 860 a.m. or on WPEN 97.5 FM. HD2. You can also listen to our live show on demand at wwdbam.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and follow us on social media. Thank you all for joining us. And Leah, thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.